morning, friends. How are you all doing? Good. Hey, there's people in the room. I'm excited about that. If you're with us online, I'm so glad that you're here, too. As you can see, we're ready when you are ready to come back here. I know there's lots of summer plans. I would love to be one of those plans if you would come and check it out. So I think it's really important for us to be in community together. There's something really important about that. One of those options, like Vanessa just mentioned, Brendan McDonough, he's going to be here in a couple weeks. Killer guy. We have a really cool story. We actually know each other through some different friends and knew one of the guys that, one of his brothers that he lost. Vanessa had mentioned the movie. If you wanted to watch the movie, it's called Only the Brave. It was out a couple years ago. Jeff Bridges is a killer, very emotional. You kind of already know what's going to happen, so you can be prepared if it's appropriate for you. But I talked to him this last week again, and I was like, what would you change about the movie? Like, if you thought this was done well or not well or missed something. And he said, unfortunately, it told his story really well. And you'll see why he says unfortunately, but there's good news on the back end of that. And then, you know, he said, hey, it's Hollywood and you can't spend that much time going into each one of these men's life and that intimate level, so to understand them. So hopefully we get a better view of all of those things, what we can learn from him, what he's learned about God, and then collectively what we can learn about God together with that. So yeah, excited about that in a couple weeks. Today, I have titled this message, Moving Beyond Cultural Christianity. This is going to be a fun one. Buckle up. It's going to be good. Moving Beyond Cultural Christianity. If simply believing in stuff is enough to like make a difference, can you think about how different our lives would be? Like, if we just believed in the right thing, can you think about how different our lives would be? Like, the believing in, like, yes, we believe in nutrition and health and exercise and the difference that would actually make in our bodies, that if just believing that would actually make that come to fruition, please, Jesus, let it be so. If just believing that stuff, actually then it came, you know, about if no one then would struggle with addictions, because we have this belief that addictions hurt things and hurt people and can hurt us, or we wouldn't have money issues. Like, we wouldn't struggle with our finances because we believe in that there's good decisions financially and having a budget and a structure and not getting into debt, and we believe those things, and so we wouldn't be struggling. Our preparation for school, right? Our preparation for really for anything that we believe is important to be prepared, right? And so then we don't really need to prepare because we believe it, that you should be prepared for something and the impact that it's going to make. So we're having this study through Jeremiah that we started just a couple weeks ago. And this book in Jeremiah is about a prophet named Jeremiah. And he is tasked with the most difficult task of telling God's people, hey, you're messing it up. You're not living the way that you should be living, and there's going to be destruction that's going to come upon you because of this. And so today we find ourselves actually in Jeremiah 7 in the temple where he gives what would be a message. And so God says, hey, you need to go there to the temple where these people are hanging out, and you're going to give this sermon or this message. A lot of poetry is just before this that we've kind of walked through in the last couple weeks and then after this. So Jeremiah 7, that is different. I'm going to read it from here. That's messing with my eyes. This is the word that came from Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord. All of the people of Judea came through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty of God of Israel says. So this is what he now says. So Jeremiah is now standing and he's now going to tell and give this word of the Lord to people who are in church or in this temple area. It says, reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with, if you really change your ways and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words and are worthless. These are like powerful words that he's giving them right now, saying, what are you doing? Look at your lives outside of here and how you're acting. And you come to this place and you're like, this is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. We're good. And the reform of many people at this time, this was just a surface level reform, like a window dressing, where they went to this holy place, they used the right language, the words, they understood the vernacular, but they didn't engage their lives in the living way and how they lived it out. And you see, we get this, actually. We get this because most of us know. Most of us know what we need to know to live better. We know what we need to know to live better. We know that our problem in life isn't a lack of information. We know we need to be honest. We know we need to forgive. We know we need to be more compassionate. We know we need to be more generous. But for the most part, we know everything we need to know or believe everything that we need to believe. But the truth is that we know this, and we know this, that knowing and believing doesn't really make any difference in a lot of circumstances. Otherwise, things would be different. Otherwise, things would be different. So here's the thing. God knows this. He knows this. We see this all throughout Scripture and how it's lived out in the Old Testament and how it was lived out through Jesus in the New Testament. Because of this, he didn't invite people to believe. And this might be like really contrary to what you've heard or how you grew up or what you've been taught. We see that in Jesus, that he didn't spend a lot of time trying to get people to believe the things he said. Hey, you really should believe this thing that I'm talking about. He actually invited them over and over and again and again. And we see this in God and God through Jesus, that he actually invites us not to know things, but to do things. He invites them to do things because he knows what we know, that doing makes all of the difference. Friends, if we believe all the right things and don't do it, our faith then becomes weak and fragile. We consistently see in Scripture that God and God through Jesus was not just asking people to believe in him. Hey guys, you should really believe in me. His invitation was to follow me. His invitation was to follow me. It was relational. It was active. It was interactive. And over the time, the church has actually dumbed this down. Some of you maybe have never actually heard the phrase, follow me. You heard what I heard. I heard it a lot. You heard, believe in me. And so the church reduced follow me to believe in me. You just need to believe in me. And you may know this from experience. Believe in me is a lot easier than follow me. It's a lot easier than follow me. Believe in me is safer. It's far less demanding. How many of you guys, by a show of hands here in the room, how many of you guys think my kids should have good grades? Like they should get good grades? A lot of you, yeah. You believe it. So how many of you guys are going to like start calling and saying, how can I tutor your kids because I want to see them have good grades? Like they need to follow this. A couple of you, yeah, hit me up. It's great. I got four. It's far less demanding. Like it's from a distance. Yeah, I believe that. How many times have you had an interaction or even found yourself in a season of distance or somebody else, and they're like, no, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And this is exactly what we're seeing in Jeremiah right here. And then you're like, what? Really? That's weird that you just hitched your train to Jesus, because I'm watching your life and how you're living or how you're acting, and now I'm going to find myself like Jeremiah at the gates being like, what are you doing? Look at where you're at right now. This is what you're actually doing, not what you believe. And unfortunately, believe in me can leave you exactly where you are. No change required. Just believe it. God did, and Jesus did not merely invite people to believe in him. As you read and see throughout the Scriptures, these faith stories, you know, the very beginning with Abraham, and God said, like, I have this beautiful thing for you, this land, this space, this blessing for you, but you have to leave everything that you know and you just have to go, right? He could have been like, I believe you really do. but I don't want to take that step of faith. He didn't know where he was going to go, and he had to take that step. You see it all throughout. You see Abraham, you see even Ashley talked about Moses and God calling Moses to go into Egypt and to help set his people free. He could have been like, I believe you want to set them free and you can do all those things. I believe it, but it took an actionable step to do something. He said, follow me, go. You see Noah. Yeah, he could have said, God, I believe there's a flood coming. And then God was like, you better build a boat, right? He could have just stuck with, I believe it, and then watched the kind of storm come along and hadn't built a boat. Gideon, you see the story in Gideon and how God used him in his steps forward of faithfulness to conquer what God asked him to conquer. You see in Joshua, you know, this is like the kids' stories and the walls of Jericho. Like, hey, I'm going to tear down the walls of Jericho. And what did he say? He said, you got to like actually take some steps. You're going to walk around that a bunch of times. You're going to blow some horns and then the walls are going to come down. The difference between believing and doing and following. You see it all throughout the Gospels that Jesus invited people to live this life that actually reflected our confidence, our faith and our trust in God, that he actually is God and he has to be God in a lot of moments in my life. And so we can say, well, what does that look like? Like, what does it look like to actually trust in God? Well, God is most honored, and again, through all of these stories, we see it all throughout the entirety of the scriptures. God is most honored by our active faith, that following part. You see in Jeremiah how dishonored he is by the opposite. He says, will you steal and you'll murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we're safe. We're safe. So then he says, safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers? We see Jesus say the same thing later in the New Testament. But I have been watching, declares the Lord. That he sees this. Jesus, when he comes in the temple, you know, there's a famous story of him flipping stuff over and this passionate, you know, what people call passionate rage. That he's doing this. And he talks about, you're just making this a den of robbers. And this wasn't because these people were doing bad things in the temple. They were doing in temple work, just like these people in Jeremiah. They're doing the temple work. And he's saying, this has become a den of robbers where you're out there doing everything else that we've said don't do. Like, you're not living this out. You are a different person. You know, we used to say, like, you have your weekend hat or your work hat or your home hat, right? Depends on what hat. You're putting on a different hat on and then you're coming in here. This has become a den of robbers where you just hang out and you feel safe in your safe place. You're just going through the motions by showing up and putting on face. Friends, God is most honored by act of faith. You have a story. I know you have a story. You've heard stories of someone's act of faith when they acted on something and it became real. Their faith became real and then it grew. I can share so many moments of my own, but I remember I had a really clear line into the corporate world. I had moved up quickly in a corporate industry and had a really clear vision of where that was going to land very quickly in my life. And I remember very clearly how God said, you're feeding people the wrong thing. I happen to be working in the food industry, so it connected a little bit. And that was a step that I had to take, which led to another step, which led to another step. And I saw God's faithfulness, even though I didn't understand it. I'm getting in my car and driving to another state and showing up at school being like, I guess I got to do this. I guess I got to figure this out. I'm going to leave everything that I knew. I remember his faithfulness when, and this isn't as applicable to everybody in here, but he said, hey, plant a church. Maybe for you, it's like move and go somewhere else to do a work that I'm asking you to do. That's difficult, maybe doesn't pay as much. So for me, planting a church meant like, I'm gonna leave all my friends, all my family, we're gonna go somewhere, and I'm gonna live on macaroni and cheese and peanut butter and jelly, and hope I survive, right? It's applicable to you and your situation. But I got to see like the fruitfulness, and it grew my faith because I actually had to rely on God and who he was and what he invited me to do. I remember really specifically, God called my wife and I and said, hey, we really believe orphans are important. And I was like, I believe that too. He's like, what are you going to do about it? No, I don't want to. And I remember it's actually going to be just in a couple weeks. We said, okay, well, we'll take steps. We don't know where this journey ends. And we took all of these steps towards adopting a little boy in Ethiopia. And we continued to go through those. And then I felt like at least it was done. And prayed to God and was like, hey, I think that we've learned what we're supposed to learn and our faith has grown and we've seen you move and we've done these things and this has been so hard, but such a blessing. And I remember we even got to a point, and it's somewhat embarrassing to say, that I fleeced God and said, you told us to do this. If you're really gonna do this, you better do it like this and now or I'm done, right? It was very much a Gideon situation. And lo and behold, you know, that ask specifically was a couple weeks, which was just a couple weeks from now. It was my wife's birthday. And it was like, you know, what would be great for her on her birthday, a birthday present that we'll never forget, is that if we hear about this little boy that you've selected for us to scoop up and take into our house. And doggone it, on her birthday, we got a call at 10:30 in the morning and said, we've got a little boy for you. And, you know, that grew our faith. That grew our faith. Coming here to Northgate, leaving this church plant, the family, the thing that we thought we had built in a space. You know, you ever been somewhere and you thought you're just gonna be a lifer? Leaving that because you felt like you were called to do something different. For me specifically, I felt really called to come here and allow our founding pastor to be my pastor first and my boss second, and to lift him up through what I thought were gonna be some of the richest years of ministry of his life, and to experience that collectively. I felt like I was called to be his heir and to lift him up. And those were hard steps of faith. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do the difficult work that took. Going over to Uganda with my friend Rick Small, just the two of us, to actually deliver a bunch of nickels that in our kids' area had raised for nets. We did a small little campaign that took off called Nickels for Nets. And we were going to help with malaria. And then the school district got involved in it. And then the whole community got involved in this. This really cool thing. And we went over and we thought we were just delivering nets. And then we saw the water situation. And we were like, yeah, I believe that that's real bad. And God was like, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And so we came back and we started this thing called the Benicia Water Project, which then turned into Walk for Water, where we have all these plaques all over the place for the hundreds of thousands of dollars that have been raised just through this faith community for water wells. The list goes on. You've heard those stories where your faith grows bigger, you've been connected with them, and you're like, whoa, look at God moving when I'm doing, when I'm actually following him. Why, friends? Because when our active faith intersects with God's faithfulness, our faith grows. When our active faith intersects with God's faithfulness, our faith grows. When you feel nudged, that little nudge to serve someone else, to make things right with somebody that you do not want to make things right with, right? When you say like, hey, I should serve that person, and you feel that nudge, or, you know, I really should reconcile with that person, and you don't want to, but you finally take those steps in doing that, afterwards you're like, man, what a rush, like what a high. You've gone and served someone and just been like, feel like the best person in the world, even though it's not really you, but that's what it is. It's this rush of God saying, hey, your act of faith honors me right now. You just reconciled with that person, and you're so thankful that you did, because now you see God's faithfulness and your faith grows. So whenever we follow God and Jesus in an area where it's challenging or costs us something, when our faithfulness to God intersects with God's faithfulness, our faith gets bigger. And you see, our faith is like a muscle. And if you want your muscle to grow, you can't just believe that your muscle will grow. You have to do something about it, right? And if you don't ever do anything about it, if you don't ever exercise, then it atrophies and it goes away. And that can be difficult, and it can be really difficult. And we can go down that trail in just a moment. But you can start with little things and get little weights, right? And be like, okay, I'm gonna do a serve project. Or I'm gonna show up in student ministry or children's ministry And I'm going to show up in this faithful situation, and I'm going to flex my muscle a little bit and be like, okay, 3 pounds ain't so hard no more. I can do this. This is pretty good, right? Or you can take like that next step. And I can remember, you know, when finally figured out how to and decided, I'm going to reconcile with my dad. I'm going to reconcile with my dad, and I'm going to see the faithfulness, God's faithfulness on the other side of that and what that feels like, because I'm going to flex that muscle. Or, you know, you're going to take that next big step into, like, making sure that you're taking care of you and the other people around you, and I'm going to get some help. I'm going to show up right there and believe that God's faithful enough to take care of me. Whatever that thing is, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and you keep going to do this. This is scary. This is getting really big. And all of a sudden, you're like, this is a big step, Lord. In my weakness, you're strong, right? And you get to do that stuff, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you get to flex that muscle, and then you get to see those people. That's why we call them spiritual heavyweights, because they're just like yoked, right? They're like, God is good, right? I know this. And you're like, whoa, I don't know. I'm scared. This is the theme all throughout scriptures. Those who have experienced living out practically what you believe, you've experienced the reward. You've experienced the reward of that. Now, if you're with us online, if you're in the room and you took a little nap or I lost you for a minute, I want to ask you to tune back in, because this is what we learn about God from Jeremiah in this moment, and what we learn from Jesus in this moment, and it's staggering. I learn that it's possible for you and I to attend some kind of gathering every week. Maybe every week of your life, maybe twice a week, multiple times a week. That it is possible to hear and it is possible to believe and yet have a life that ultimately undermines your faith. It's possible. And when we do that, when we can find ourselves in a place where we can believe and yet have a life that ultimately undermines our faith, this eventually will produce a faith crisis in itself. A crisis of faith in itself. This is where I would say, if that you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you're here in this space, you're not a Christian and you're here or you're with us online, this is where I want to apologize. I think an apology could be due. Because one of the reasons that you gave up on Christianity, or maybe one of the reasons that you never have explored it, isn't simply that you don't believe it. You wonder sometimes if we believe it. You wonder sometimes if we believe it. You've heard our rhetoric and what we've said about God and the Bible and truth and love and all that stuff. And then you look at the way that we actually live, the way that we actually treat people, the way that we actually treat people, the way that we actually treat people. And the reason that you're not more open to believing in what we believe is because you just don't know if we believe it, because we don't live it out. And that's actually what God's message was through Jeremiah. Wake up, guys. That's what he's saying. Hey, look it. This is like, it's all like just window dressing. And here's what I would say to you, if that's the way that you felt. Would you just ignore us for a moment? Ignore us and read through the Gospels, or just read through one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This is the story life. This is the best way to see this follow me lived out, because that's what he constantly asked people to do. He didn't just say, believe me. He said, do this, and it was hard stuff. Would you just read one of the Gospels and at least consider following Jesus? Because our inability to do what we believe doesn't undermine the invitation and the love that Jesus has for you. And wrapping this up, I'm going to jump to the New Testament, and James, who's actually the half-brother of Jesus, which is so cool about the book of James. There's so much in there. And right off the bat, we see in James 1, the first chapter, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do not merely listen to the word and just show up and then deceive yourself. Like, I believe it. I think that's a good, hey, great talk, right? Good challenge. I believe that. It says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. Faith is a muscle. And faith that does not do any good, friends, is no good. And we need to grow our faith. And then James goes right into this little story about a mirror. About how, hey, imagine this. Imagine that you wake up in the morning and you walk into the bathroom area and you look in the mirror and you go, whoa, you're a mess, right? And you're like, oh man, I need to do some work. I need to do some work on me, get myself presentable, right? Professional, maybe we clean up the breath situation, all of that. He says, hey, you wake up, you look in this mirror, you look at it, and you're like, man, I need some work. But then you do nothing about it. You just throw your bathrobe on and you show up at work. And everyone's like, whoa, right? You believed you needed to do the work, but you don't do the work. And God says, somehow you can retreat to, but I believe all things are right. If I believe, then all the things are right. And you must build a strong faith. Because one day, friends, we're going to need it, and it won't be there. You will need it. And God says, Jesus says, I want you to be ready. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And then James ends this whole statement with, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. If you want to experience God, friends, you've got to do something with what you believe. And what we learn all throughout scriptures is what happens to people when they don't listen and they don't respond or live it out is that like storms come. God knows storms just show up. And when the storms come, there's a crash. And it's going to expose your faith and who you are. We got to hear powerful testimony from what's like my dad last week, Roger, my pastor, of when a storm comes. Kind of funny, his last name's Storms. What happens when that great crash comes? What's underneath? Why is this going to be difficult? Because our faith can be fragile and weak. Even though you believed, you had not exercised to be prepared for the storms in life. And this should disturb some of you. This should disturb some of you. That's what's so disturbing about Jesus' message and God's message about follow me, because believing again is easy. Jesus disturbed people when he preached because he didn't say, believe this new idea. He says, you need to do this. You need to pray for your enemy. What? No. This is a follow me. Pray for your enemy. Turn your cheek. That disturbed people, and ultimately you actually see it disturbed people to the point where you see in like the book of John, he talked about that people actually in the midst of his message were like picking up stones to throw stones into stone or almost push them off of a cliff, which is why there's a lot of distance right here in a stage so that way when we have to have difficult conversations. But from time to time, friends, there's tension. And we see in Jeremiah right here, this was a tension moment, and it's important that we actually live in that tension. So what our current cultural moment needs is not more people attending church. It's not more people just singing songs, saying the right religious language and the things, but instead a people who are committed to living the way of Jesus, who do the personal work of examining their interior lives and aligning the reality of their lives to the life, the ministry, and the teachings of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that you challenge us, that you push us, that you invite us. You don't just say believe this, that you actually invite us into something. And so today, may we respond and follow you, not just in knowing, but in doing. And may you be honored by our active faith. And God, if you will, and if it's your will, may we just receive the blessings from that. And if anything, grow a stronger faith muscle. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.